Gaynor, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on today and just, you know, celebrating a great human being and Joey Moss. You came to the Oilers in 1998, 1999. You got acquired at the trade deadline in 99, I guess that would have been around February. What was your first introduction to Joe Moss?
Well, I think immediately, right when walked into the dressing room, might have been the first person I got a chance to meet, and just to see the way he interacted with the guys and how important he was to the locker room and the organization and the group there, what a special person he was. And like you said earlier, he's definitely a legend in the Edmonton sports world as well as across the National Hockey League for sure.
Jason, I was told today by a few of your teammates that kind of an unofficial record that you hold that, you know, Joey Moss at your house with your family, maybe you've had the most sleepovers of any player. You guys became very close. Talk about how your relationship developed over the years where, you know, like it was a treat for you to have Joe come stay at your house.
Oh, I think it started when I first got there watching, you know, Bucky and Dougie Waite, the way they interacted with Joe and spent so much time with him and how he was a member of the family. And I think first time I brought him over, I remember going to his house and knocking on the door and picking him up. And he was downstairs and he brought more stuff over to my house for a one-night sleepover than I could imagine. I didn't really realize that he put in that much time doing preparation and homework for the team we were playing, and he had all kinds of sheets and papers laid out, and his scorecards and his game notes, and I was just amazed with the time that he put in. But then how excited he was to get over to my house and. I think WrestleMania, whatever was on, and he was setting up shop in the basement, and he was excited to get down on the couch. All that he asked was he needed a Big Mac meal with a Coke, a couple beers, and just wanted to be left alone. just really enjoyed his entertainment and his positive attitude. Like He was great with my kids. Both my daughters would sit down and watch the wrestling with him, and he'd get so excited. And he was just a great, great human being and a person that was, you know, somebody that I enjoyed my time with, and definitely would have liked to have spent some more time with him down the stretch. But since I left Edmonton, I made a point every time I got back there to say hello to him for sure.
Jason Smith joined us talking about Joey Moss. And Jason, you mentioned that, you know, his love of wrestling. So did you ever get to the point where you were able to be invited down into your own house to watch the wrestling with him?
I sat down there a little bit, but he was very, very particular. He liked to, you know, he had his notes on the wrestlers and the matches and who was fighting. And he always wore one of his many WWE shirts he'd collected over the years from when the WWE had come into town. He always had a shirt on of his guys, and he'd do his impressions. And whether it was the Big Show or the Undertaker or Kurt Angle, he had his games he played and his antics and his work up for the match. And you know, it was kind of his time, and I really enjoyed watching with him. But the most important thing is I had to do was make sure he had a cold beer, and that was something that I always did for him, and he was very appreciative, and was a great little member, kind of a joining member of our family when he was over.
Jason Smith joins us. And, you know, Jason, Dwayne Mandrewczak, of course, kind of took care of him a lot when he was with the Edmonton Eskimos. And, you know, he had his sons. And he talked about how Joe really became an extended part of his family. And, you know, it was really his family, he felt, learned so much from Joe. Not from, you know, obviously he wasn't a guy who gave speeches or anything like that. Just how he acted and more so how he treated people. Like, he was always happy.
Yeah, that's one thing you could always rely on. When you got to the rink in the morning, because he'd be there early and he would have his coffee and always have a smile. And it didn't matter whether it was minus 40 outside and we were losing games, or, you know, he'd he'd been celebrating a victory from the night before. He was always positive, and he just brought that light and that energy that you kind of wish that that every human on Earth could have on a daily basis. He was one of the most positive guys you could ever be around, and I think that radiated across to anybody that was ever around him or spent time with him. You always had a smile on your face when you were around Joe Moss.
Jason Smith joins us. And Jason, you talk about just the energy that he brought in the room. And, you know, for you is unique because you were able to have him at your house with your family. Maybe that's a little bit of a different side of Joe. But just at the arena and, you know, being a captain of the team, right, there's a lot of responsibility. I don't know if it's a stressful job. I've never been a captain of an NHL team. But I'm guessing at certain times, you know, there's a lot of tension in the room. And Joe had an uncanny ability to kind of calm things down or give a laugh when it was needed. Did that surprise? Like, Joe, I think, was a lot more in tune with things, you know, that were going on around him than people would expect.
Oh, for sure. I think, I know you'd said a few moments ago there that you might not be one of those guys that gave speeches, but Joe gave some of the best talks and best motivational moments that anyone could ever be around, whether it was him breaking out and doing some impersonations from WWE guys or getting in a little bit of a jabbing match with somebody, you know, saying some inappropriate things or something that would stir somebody up. He always had the pulse of what was going on, and he was a true part of our team. He was a member of that locker room and someone that was, he was relied upon to keep the environment light and keep the guys, you know, feeling positive and focused. And he was just a positive factor that, you know, never let anybody down and always was doing his best to represent the Oilers in any way possible and bring positivity to everybody that was there.
Did he have any inspiring words for you when you were named captain of the team?
You know what? I think he might have told me to make sure I'd do a good job and that I had big shoes to follow, because he was obviously very close with Wader and with Bucky and then obviously with Wayne and Mess. And, you know, those guys are, you know, definitely way more had way more stature and way better ability as players to play the game. And he just wanted to make sure that I was always doing the best for the team. I think that was something that he passed on to everybody, was make sure you represent the Oilers well. And that's something that he did ultimately to the end.
Did you ever have a wrestling match with Joe?
No, I was scared. And I couldn't muster up enough energy to get in a match with them, and there was guys that were way more willing to battle than I was. I think some of the better matches were, whether it was with George or Rafi Torres or, you know, some of the younger guys, Mikey Comrie. It was always an exciting time when Joe thought it was time to put his heavyweight belt on the line, and he definitely he defended it with honor, and he might have lost a few matches, but he always won the rematch to get the championship belt back.
Well, and that was the thing. I remember, I think it was Sparky had told, and I might have been Penner, and maybe I'm wrong on who it was, but Joe had lost a match, and, like, he was very upset about it. And so Sparky was like, we got it. We're planning the rematch right now. Like, and Joe loved winning, but he took the losses pretty hard, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he had a little bit of anger, and you know, he always knew that there was going to be a rematch, and it was just a matter of how he was going to get the belt back. He'd attack guys at the right time, or as the match was being set up, he'd get the jump on someone, and always made sure that the belt was back in above his locker in the back room, and that if anybody ever messed with the belt, you were in serious trouble. So he was, it was some of the best times that I had in the Oilers locker room, was whether it was Joe wrestling or singing or just doing his impersonations of Hulk Hogan's leg drop or Jimmy Superfly Snuka's flying elbow or whatever it was. He was a performer and was special to be around.
Were you surprised that, like, he followed wrestling so closely? You mentioned the notes he had. Like, he was kind of a student of the game. He really followed the moves, but also kind of knew how to play up the crowd and be a heel at times, too.
Oh, for sure. I think that was some of the things that his homework and his details and writing down notes on certain things the performers did that allowed him to be the entertainer that he was. And, you know, whether it was the little moves and the you can't see me, and he'd be waving his hand in front of his face, and, you know, just getting things that most of us that probably would ever followed wrestling didn't pay attention to the little details that he did. And he put the time in with the homework for the wrestling, as he did with the hockey. He knew the stats and, you know, who was important and who we needed to watch on the other team in the lineup. And if he had any former Oiler players in the visitors locker room, he'd always go down and say hello, and he'd take some jabbing from that when Bucky was down in the other room or waiter. And he'd come back to the room, and the guys would ask him who he was cheering for tonight. And he always made it sure that he was cheering for the Oilers, and he was going to be loud and proud for the Oiler team.
Did he ever tell you guys to take it easy on one of the former Oilers?
Not that I remember, no. Okay. But he did. He did make a point that some of the guys needed to be. You needed to be hard on them and be physical on them, and every once in a while a cheap shot might be needed to slow them down. So he was definitely aware of who was a good player and who was kind of the thugs or the slugs on the other team.
Jason Smith joins us. And Jason, I know, you know, a lot of hockey teams in junior hockey and in the minor leagues, and I'm sure other teams around the NHL, like, you know, they have unique personalities like Joe that come in their organization and really make a big impact. And I don't know if when you were in Regina or in New Jersey or not, or even when, you know, in Toronto and Philly late in your career, if you ever did you ever encounter, you know, like a locker room attendant similar to Joey Moss?
Not directly, no. I think, you know, certain teams at certain times would have people in for, you know, a weekend or a couple days to, you know, to be in the room and be around. But I think, you know, Joe was somebody that was, you know, a one of a kind in all the time that I played. I think there was, you know, guest appearances or times where teams would invite people in, but nobody was a mainstay like Joe was, and I think that's what makes, you know, the story and his story and how special it is that, you know, he joined the organization and, you know, became a lifer at it, which is pretty amazing.
Oh, it's completely amazing. Jason Smith joins us, former Oilers captain, 1,000 games played in the National Hockey League. And Jason, you talked about you learned from Kelly Buchberger and Doug Weight just how they really made Joey part of the family. So, you know, why was it important for you? Was it when you had the captaincy, even before that? Because, you know, every guy is going to react, you know, different ways. And, you know, Joey had a great relationship with everybody, but some guys he just had a more, you know, maybe intimate relationship, a little bit closer. And obviously you were one of those guys by staying over at his house so often. What gravitated, you know, Joey towards you or you towards Joe?
Well, I think it probably started when I first got traded and arrived in Edmonton. I think I was always getting to the rink early, and Joe was there, and I just got a real chance to, you know, spend, you know, some alone time with him around the rink and watch him, you know, get his day going and how he worked through things and how he solved his problems and you know, just how quality of a person that he was that he was, you know, he was there to, you know, be a part of the team as much as a player was. He wanted the team to have success, and he truly cared. He was passionate about the Oilers organization and also about the Eskimos when he worked there. I think he just had a passion and a care for what he was doing and putting his best foot forward every time he was every day every time and every day he was there. He got his work done. He had some fun. He made people smile and laugh and didn't ever get down in the dumps. And that's what was so special about him. He was just a positive human being to be around every day. And I think when you're around people like that, it makes it a lot easier to have success and be a quality person.
And he also, I'm guessing it was a positive influence on people because he took his role very seriously and he wanted to do it properly. And Sparky early on, earlier they were telling Paul Coffey was on the station, was telling the story how Joey was in a timeout early because this is like in the 80s when he just got there because he hadn't done his job to the level he wanted. And then obviously that never happened again and he did it. And, some players said like Joe kind of set the tone that there were certain ways to act and certain things you did in the room. And Joey was never afraid to call a guy out if he wasn't adhering to those rules and guidelines.
Oh, for sure. Joe wanted things done the right way and he truly cared. He cared about, the jerseys and the socks and they shouldn't be on the floor. They needed to be in the bin. And you know what, if you dropped your socks or your jersey on the floor and it wasn't in the bin or your towels weren't in the bin by the shower and he knew it was you, he called you out on it and his honesty and his ability to call people out was, something that was special because he didn't take any crap. If he thought you were doing something wrong that wasn't, a part of the Oiler way, he said it right. And, he was always learning and always wanted to be a better human. And he definitely did that.
Jason, had you interacted a lot with people that, somebody with Down syndrome prior to meeting Joe? And if not, how did it maybe change your outlook towards people that, had delayed development?
I had not, no. But, I mean, obviously, in my early years playing in New Jersey or in Toronto, you get around, the Children's Hospital and you get to experience, young people that are going through different things. And I think, a disability or an injury or dealing with sickness is something that the quicker you learn to understand and realize that, sure, people are a little bit different, but everybody, every human has got a lot of the same traits. They want to be happy and they want to succeed. And, just because you're a little bit different doesn't mean you can't, have a great life and be a happy person. And, Joe was the true example of that is, he didn't allow him having Down syndrome to keep him down or not achieve, happiness and success. And that's what life's about is finding happiness and peace. And Joe did that. And that's what really attracted me to him is he went about his business. He had fun doing it and he cared about people.
Jason, that's so eloquently said. I really appreciate you taking some time today out of your busy schedule. Drive safe, and our condolences losing a very good friend of yours, Joey Moss.
Thanks again for having me, and thoughts and prayers with the Moss family.